Well, good evening. So good to see all of you here this evening. And as we've just sang, all things are ready, come to the feast. And that's exactly what we've done tonight. We have come to feast upon the Word of God, on the bread of life everlasting. And it is so good to see all of you here hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because that's why we've gathered. We've gathered together to worship God on this beautiful first day of the week, and to glean from Him and His Word those things that will make us rich and strong and powerful in this life, that helps propel us to the life everlasting. And so we're so glad to see all of you here tonight. All things are ready. I have my Bible in hand, and I've turned to the book of Matthew and in chapter 24. And I invite you to turn there as we'll be studying from God's Word in Matthew's Gospel account. I have my notes ready and my lesson points available and ready to share, and I'm excited to be here. And so, from my perspective, I think I am ready. But the question tonight is, are you ready? I have available to me God's Word, His intent for what He has planned for me. And you have the same thing as well. And tonight we're going to make ourselves ready and prepared by using His Word. I hope that you are ready. I hope you are comfortable in your seat. I hope you have your Bible in hand. And that, as the songs say, we put away all of those things in our mind that are worldly. All of the cares and concerns that we have. All of the responsibilities that we have starting tomorrow, as we may go to work or to go to school or the things that are in front of us. Put aside those cares for this short time. And let us focus our minds and our hearts on God's Word. And let's study together what it means to truly be ready. We are Christians, and we are commanded to be ready and to be prepared for that day which we all long for, the coming of our Lord, Judgment Day. We know that it will come, yet we do not know when. What we are told to do tonight is to be ready. Ready, standing, prepared, ready to receive the Lord when He comes. For we know not when it will be. It could be today, it could be tonight. It could be tomorrow, it could be sometime later this week. We do not know, but we do know we are called to be ready to receive Him when He comes. Are you ready? We look in the pages of the Bible, we can see many stories of different people of which this lesson was taught to. Be ready for the coming of the Lord. In Matthew and in chapter 4, we read where the masterful teacher, Jesus, is teaching His disciples, those whom are most close to Him at this time. And He takes this opportunity to teach them what it means to be ready and how important that it is. He teaches His disciples using an example of a man that you may have heard of before, a man by the name of Noah. Yes, we can turn back in the pages of the Old Testament, in Genesis, and we can read chapter 6 and in 7 and 8 and read about the story of this man whom God told to build an ark. And he did so. And we can read through those chapters and find out the reason why he was to build that ark. And the reason why he was to build it a certain size and in a certain way and of certain materials. And we see that the reason why was so that he could live. Jesus refers to this man in this story as he's teaching his disciples. And Matthew records for us there in chapter 4 the illustrations of those days. Join me and let's read together in Matthew's Gospel account in chapter 24, beginning in verse 36. The words of Jesus are as they say here, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Jesus, the masterful teacher, our Lord and our Savior, has given to these men an example of one whom God said, Noah, be prepared. Get prepared. When the time came for the waters to flood the earth, Noah was protected. He prepared himself. He made way for himself and for various members of the family that we can read about there in the certain chapters of Genesis. But those who were not prepared were swept away. The floods carried them to a watery grave and an eternal resting place. Noah was prepared. And Jesus uses the example here to let his disciples know that they, as we, should be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Because just as Noah did not know, nor anyone in his time would know when the waters would come, we do not know the day or time that the Lord is coming to get us. So we must be prepared to be ready. There's a difference between being ready and getting ready. Oftentimes, we find ourselves getting ready, in the process of, determined but not to completion. Let me give you an example. What did you do in preparation or getting ready to come here tonight? Chances are there were many steps in the preparation, most of which we do without even thinking. It's almost like clockwork. It's something that we automatically know must be done. Things like picking out what clothes we're going to wear. The clothes, we hope, are going to be cleaned and pressed. And hopefully they're going to match. That's one reason why I have my wife, to make sure that my clothing matches. And she does a very good job. But simple things like that. Simply the clothes that we wear. What about the means of getting here tonight? Many of you, if not all of you, probably drove or rode in a vehicle to come here tonight. The vehicle had to make sure that it was running, didn't it? We had to have plenty of fuel to get here and back, or at least to get to the gas station, or get here and get to the gas station before we return home. But there's certain preparation that had to be made. Possibly you took a bus route to get here and had to purchase that ticket or have that money ready to pay for that transportation to be made to get here tonight. Possibly even rode with a family member or a friend or a brethren to come to the congregation meeting tonight. These are all steps of preparation, of getting ready. Many of us may understand what it means about getting ourselves ready, but there may be others that we need to help get ready. I've already mentioned the matching of my attire. But not only does my wife have a burden of making sure that I'm ready to go, we have young ones. They need our help. It may not be young ones that you have. It may be spouses. It may be other family members. Maybe you have an elderly, aged family member or someone that's having a physical difficulty going through the process of just getting ready to start their day. Sometimes you have to help there. That's all part of preparation. And once all of those things come together, everything is ready, you embark on that journey and you come here tonight. There's a difference between being ready and getting ready. Have you ever been in a situation where you've just flat run out of time to get ready? You ever been in a worked up tizzy because you're running out of time? There's not enough time to get everything done before you leave for whatever it is that you're attaining to go to, whatever event that might be. You're running late for work in the morning. Have to skip the breakfast to get on the road because traffic is going to be horrible getting down the Waterston Expressway because everyone else is trying to get to work at the same time. Or sometimes you run out the door and you look down later on in the day and you've got one sock blue and one sock black, and it's because you just couldn't see quick enough or have enough time to make sure that everything was laid out and prepared. And so you were rushed. Has that ever happened to you? I tell you what, it happens many times. Many times in our lives, because we are focused on so many things in our lives and so many responsibilities that we have, that oftentimes we don't carve out enough time to be fully prepared and ready for what we must engage ourselves with. It happens all the time. And sometimes when you have to leave and you're being rushed, do you ever forget anything? Do you ever think, oh, did I turn the iron off? Did I leave my lunch sitting on the counter and now I have no lunch on the day when I go to work? Or did you forget of something that you should have done, been doing, or something you should have done or you promised to do before you left? Ugh! Ouch! I ran out of time. I was too rushed. I was not prepared. Oftentimes those things sneak up on us. And it's very, very common. We sometimes think we have everything ready to go. But then when we arrive, we find there's something we've missed. Has that ever cost you what you were trying to achieve? Has that ever cost you when you've been late to a theater production and yet you arrive late? And the curtain has been opened and the doors have been shut and you are not allowed to enter into the theater? It's kind of a costly situation there, isn't it? Sometimes you forget things, but in preparation and losing that preparation, sometimes you miss the whole event. All because you were not as prepared as you thought that you may have been. Let's look to God's Word for another great example of this. Still in Matthew, but let's look now to the next chapter, and in Matthew chapter 25. As He's continuing to talk and to discuss these things and to teach His disciples, He tells of a parable, the parable of the 10 virgins, there at the beginning of Matthew and in chapter 25. Let's look together at that parable beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 25 verse 1 begins by saying the words of Jesus as He's teaching read, "Then the kingdom of God shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming! Go out to meet him!' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" Another hard lesson learned. Sometimes in our preparation, we think we are prepared, that we are ready, that we have all bases covered, yet when we arrive, we find that we have fallen short. in this parable, it tells of these 10 women who were there to meet the bridegroom and to be asked to join the wedding party. Yet the bridegroom was delayed. They expected him to be there at a certain point, and that's what they had prepared for. Yet when he was delayed, when the time was later than they expected, they were not prepared. Their oil lamps had grown and had burned, and burned the majority, if not all, of their oil that they had. Yet there were five who thought ahead, who bought extra oil in preparation for a delay. Have you ever been caught in a situation like that? You know, I think back to a time when I was a young boy, when I was a Boy Scout. I remember the Boy Scouts of America, about how one of the greatest models that they ever drilled into everybody was to be prepared. Think of those things that you may need to encounter and be prepared. Prepare yourself for what will happen, but prepare yourself for what could happen. We see here that the five virgins who were prepared, who had brought enough oil for their lamps, were still in the place where the bridegroom came, and he invited them in. Yet the five that left and came back were not allowed in. Sometimes we can find ourselves in this situation. Will we be numbered as one of the five wise? Or will we be numbered as one of the five foolish when it comes to the Lord returning? We spend a great deal of our time getting ready, preparing ourselves for many things in our lives. We get ready to start our work week tomorrow. We get ready for embarking on another week of school or lessons. We get ready for up-and-coming events that are in our life. Birthday celebrations, holiday celebrations, many preparations for many things. Oftentimes we make preparations for our burial, our deaths, physical bodies on this earth. Things that are to come, we spend a great deal of time preparing for. Preparing for that vacation that we want to take next year. Preparing for sending our children to college. Preparing for how they will live and be taken care of when we're no longer here. A lot of people make preparation for the infamous water heater or furnace that will blow up. We've got a contingency plan. We save time, we save money, we make smart decisions to prepare for those things that we know are coming and some of the things that we don't know if they'll come. Should there be any different for the preparation of our soul, expecting the coming of the day of the Lord? There should be no difference. We prepare to feed ourselves for the upcoming week. We prepare for all of the events that are coming, whether it's things that we're doing for recreation or whether we're preparing for coming together and worship on the next Lord's Day, preparing to study our Bible lessons for when we come together and to worship and to study and edify one another. None of these things are wrong. None of these things are bad. However, when we make preparation for the things in our life that are physical, do we forget about making preparations for our life eternal? Folks, what we're talking about here is the day of judgment. It's the day where the Lord will come and call His people unto Him, of where each and every one of us will stand before Him and be judged. And there are two answers to that question. The question is, where will you spend eternity? One answer is heaven, the other answer is hell. There are no in-betweens. We need to be prepared to stand before the Lord to give an account for our life. And if it is our desire to join Him in heaven, we must be ready. The time to be ready is now. The time for preparation and to work is now. Don't be caught getting ready. My wife and I have a schedule that we've been working with over the last year or two. In the mornings, I have the opportunity to take my older two and to get them ready for school in the morning. Take them every day from asleep in the bed to dropping off at the bus stop to get them to school. During that time, we have different aspects and things that we must accomplish. We've got to get up in the morning. We have morning chores that we have to do. We have to get some breakfast made in order to start our day right. We need to pack lunches for later on in the day. And we have all these steps that we need to go through in order to get ready to leave on time. Every morning, it seems, after I am mostly ready to go to work, I will holler up the stairs, "Girls, are you ready?" Most time, I get one of two answers. Yes, almost. Let's talk about those two things. When they say almost, I've gotten to the point where I ask them where there's enough time that they'll have a few more minutes to get ready, to finish what it is that they have to accomplish in order to leave. Because we need to leave at a certain time. We've got a schedule to meet. Because if we miss that bus stop, when we miss that bus, we've got a whole nother round of obstacles that we have to go through. But sometimes they'll answer yes. I cringe when I hear that sometimes. I'll share that with you. Because I have found in my few years of being a father that my definition of being ready is completely different than their definition of getting ready or being ready. We have clothes that have to be put on and adjusted a certain way. Certain aspects of the hair has to be done, and the shoes on, and the right shoes, and have the book bags together, and everything prepared and ready to go. Their definition doesn't always match mine. So we've learned to build in that buffer of a few minutes in order to get and be ready. Where do we find our definition of being ready? You hold it in your laps, or in your hands, or in the pew back in front of you. Because within God's Word here, He has given us that answer. Within these pages tells us everything that we need to know in order to be ready. Yes, He tells us what we need to do as we're getting ready. And He tells us in here the things that will prevent us from being ready. But if you look back where Matthew records, it's not a matter of getting ready or being almost ready. It says there in Matthew and in 24, there in the verse of 44 that we read earlier, Jesus' words to him again after talking about those days of Noah. He says, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming." He's told us there will be a day. And He's told us what we have to do to be ready. And He is commanding us to be ready. Don't get caught being almost ready. Don't get caught in that process. Because just like we read of the parable of the virgins, if we think we are and find that we've fallen short, we're going to miss the feast. The bridegroom, the wedding feast, and the doors being shut. How do we apply that to our spiritual life? Where Jesus, the bridegroom, comes to call upon His bride, the church. And of that day, and of that hour, we do not know. But we do know He's coming. And if we are not ready, if we were not prepared, the doors of heaven will be shut on us. And it will be because we were not ready. We are called many times to work as Christians. That we need to be ready to give, be ready to work, be ready to give and work generously. That we're to be ready to punish all disobedience. And most importantly, we are to be ready and prepared to give an account of our life as we stand before God in judgment. Are you ready? Are you ready tonight to give that account? What will be your defense? If you look at yourself tonight and examine yourself, are you able to say that you are ready to meet the Lord? Or will you say, I'm almost ready. I'm getting ready. I will be prepared. Just one or two more things, and then I'll be yours. Folks, if you have that answer, the doors will be shut. And if the doors to the heavens have been shut in the life ever after for you, then this life will have been a waste. In this life, if you've missed heaven, you've missed it all. How important is it to be ready? Folks, I might say that it's a matter of life or death. But I'm going to take it one step further. Being ready is a matter of life over death. Each and every one of us have the opportunity to spend a life eternal in heaven, with God, in all of His glory. The decision is ours. Look one more time, if you will, in Matthew and in chapter 25, a little bit later in that chapter. As we're talking about judgment and the days of judgment that will come. And in Matthew chapter 25, look in verse 31. Because Matthew 25 and verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Skip down to verse 41. And verse 41 says, "Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" That day of judgment, when all nations and all men are gathered at the foot of the Lord, there will be a division. A time of the separation between the wheat and the tares. Between the sheep and the goats. Folks, that's a separation or division between the righteous and the unrighteous. Those who lay up their treasures in heaven versus those who have laid them up on earth. You cannot serve two masters. Give all you have to the One who has given all they had for you. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The decisions that we make day to day define us as being separated to be on the side of the right or the side of the left of our Lord. If we are found worthy, if we are found righteous, we will be counted among His people and granted entrance into the kingdom. But we cannot do that if we are not ready. What does it take to be ready? It takes a loving heart. It takes a humble man, a humble mind, and a humble heart, and an open heart, and a soft heart. It takes a repentant heart. It takes so many different things, all contained within this book. But most importantly, it takes a humble heart to bow before the Lord and say, I believe in you. I trust in you. I love you. Free me from the sinful life that I currently have. Use me to do your will. I give up myself and I give it all to you. And that is the point where you begin your journey day in and day out of being ready. If you are here with us this evening and you do not know if you are ready, don't leave this place. Find out what is separating you from God. Remove it from your life. Draw yourself closer to Him. If you've never put Him on in baptism and have the saving power of Jesus' blood to wipe your sins clean, you have that opportunity tonight. If you are a child of God and you have separated yourself from Him, you have taken a path that was wide and broad and led to great glory here on earth, I beg you to change direction. Join the narrow path. Because that path leads to an eternal life. And the only way that's available is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have a need tonight, if there's anything that we can do to help you leave this place knowing that you are ready, we stand ready to help. Willing and able. Are you ready? If you must come down, this opportunity is given to you now. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing this song.